Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we're talking about David Grusch, the whistleblower. Says the U.S. has got UFOs, alien bodies. What's going on? We're going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about what, I mean, look, it's possible this is the biggest story of the century. Of mankind, even. Could be. We don't know. And we're going to talk to you about this whistleblower named David Grusch, how he sat down with News Nation to reveal how there is a secret group within the secret group in the United States intelligence community covering up the truth about UFOs, alien bodies. But we're going to talk about some of the interesting statements that have been released so far, and it hasn't even aired yet, about interdimensional beings, malevolent entities, and some very strong connections to the atomic bomb, which takes us to the Trinity site, which takes us to the great world of Twin Peaks. Have you signed up yet? I've been harping on you. I've been telling you. We're going to do the super mega ultra deep dive into Twin Peaks called the Grey Lodge. We're going to go over season one, season two, the film, and then season three. And we're getting ready to take off on the mothership, so get in there. You got the month of June to sign up and get in there. You can get in there for $2 if you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab, use the coupon code CHERRYPIE, all one word, all lowers or all uppers. And you can get in for $2 and you'll get that. For $2, I'm going to give you a copy of The Dark Path. I'm going to give you a copy of Kubrick's Code. You're going to get the ad-free version of the podcast for a month, right? Then it's going to renew at $5 thereafter because I gotta pay the bills. I'm down here eating Malto Meal Cinnamon Toasties. True story. Tastes just like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, turns out. Times is tough at the Weishaupt household, all right? We're eating Cinnamon Toasties and Dino Pebbles or whatever they're called. You got to get the Dino Pebbles with the marshmallows, though, all right? And that's how you get them. That's how you get back at them. Life hack. But I'm going to give you the stuff, the ad-free version of the podcast, and you're going to unlock 170 bonus episodes. We just did a bonus episode this week on Taylor Swift and her occult concerts summoning the demons. Witchcraft? I don't know. Is it true? We're going to talk about it. It's there waiting for you, along with every show we've ever done since 2016, 2017 bonus episodes. And guess what? This month, I'm giving you 2 bonus episodes. Hell, you might make it 3 or 4. I don't even know. I'm losing count. Because after I record this show, I'm coming back in the studio, and I'm dropping one of the most salacious episodes I've ever done. So salacious, that's why it's got to be on the bonus supporter feeds only. We're talking about Jamie Foxx, some conspiracy theories about what happened, some stabby side effects maybe, we don't know. My man AJ Benza went on Dr. Drew and spilled the beans. I've talked to AJ Benza. Not to name drop, but I'm going to name drop. I worked with AJ Benza a few years ago on some things. Not like I worked with him, but you know what I mean. The lightest of casual connections I have with the guy. But he seems like an honest dude. And he confirmed Illuminate confirmed with me. So I don't know. But we're going to talk about Jamie Foxx. And it's not just the stabby thing. We're going to talk about it connects into Diddy and some of these parties he was having. Very juicy, hot goss, but it's too hot for the free feed losers. Don't be a free feed loser anymore. You go sign up. Cherry pie. All one word. Go. Or you can sign up for the other supporter feeds. You know the whole drill. You know where to go. You know what to do. Now, let's talk about David Grusch. Again, possibly story of a lifetime. We don't know. You know, sometimes they gas things up and then they fizzle out. Like, we did a whole show about the big UFO disclosure report back in 2021. 9 pages. They said, hey, there was 150 sightings and meh. We know what most of them are. Some of them we don't. Give us monies. That was kind of what it said. cool. Way to make something so interesting so boring, you know? But if this whistleblower leads us to full disclosure, we're going to finally get the answers. Are we alone? Which is going to shake up everything. It's going to shake everything up. Even though I'm going to guess they'll find a way to water it down and not tell us much and be vague. But yeah, whatever, right? Now, News Nation is the one that interviewed this whistleblower. And they've dropped a few little 10, 13-minute videos here and there you can watch. The big interview releases Sunday, June 11th. But for now, I watched several of these 10-minute videos. Basically, this guy, a 36-year-old Air Force vet, was part of some top secret program, or had I don't know, top secret security clearance. And he was an intelligence agent and all this stuff. Well, he was told through some folks that there was this super duper ultra top secret program where they had fully intact UFOs. And he then filed a whistleblower report, which the inspector general is taking very seriously, calling it urgent and credible. Now, when I first saw this David Grush guy, I thought, this guy seems like an actor. I don't believe him. But apparently his service has been verified by Leslie Keene, News Nation. And, you know, Leslie Keene, she broke this particular story on the Debrief website. She was the one that wrote the 2017 New York Times article that first released it to the public that the Pentagon was researching this stuff. And then 3 years later, the Pentagon confirmed it at a very odd time in March of 2020 or April, right? So apparently he's the real deal. He says that the government's been keeping it all secret, this sort of inner sanctum. You know, it's very much like you see in X-Files and stuff, right? Or even Twin Peaks. You know, they got the Blue Rose Task Force within the task force. The Russian dolls, you know. But anyways, his beef is that they were keeping everything secret from the Congress and from the public, even from the UAP Task Force, Arrow, the latest iteration. He says they were doing active public disinformation, which isn't shocking, right? And his beef is that most of these groups that should have access to the information have not been read into it. This is the I don't know if the deep state's the right word anymore, but the secret government. And apparently he also filed this whistleblower report because he was facing retaliation for disclosing some of this information and talking about it to people that he shouldn't have. So, and David Grush was, we're going to go through his roles here in a bit. Apparently he was a member of Arrow, the latest UAP task force on some level. He was an intelligence agent. He thought maybe he was being deceived by what he was being told by some third parties. But he was shown some documents, I guess, to prove that it was real. He hasn't seen any photos or seen the actual craft, apparently. But on some of these 10-minute clips where News Nation is talking to him to sort of tease for the Sunday full interview, he's asked if we have bodies. Do we have the alien bodies? And he says, well, sometimes you encounter dead pilots. Believe it or not, it's true. That's what he said. And in fact, I've been consuming a lot of this information on various sources, all right? But Chrissy Newton has a podcast called The Debrief. It's on YouTube. She interviewed Leslie Keene. And, oh, I can't think of the other guy's name. Rob Blumenthal, something like that. And Leslie said on The Debrief podcast there that Grush didn't mention anything to her about dead bodies. She's like, that's some whole other ish, right? And Leslie Keene confirmed, she said, there's no documents, there's no photos that we as the public can see. It's all classified. but the Inspector General apparently has. And she also has multiple sources that don't know each other that told her this same story about what's going on. These inner hidden chambers. And if you know anything about the occult, secret societies, this is how they operate. In fact, I interviewed Professor Diana Pasulka in 2020 in her book, American Cosmic. That's kind of how it worked. They call it the Invisible College of UFO believers or researchers or whatever. So all these things are lining up. Now, it's either the largest psyop of all time, very possible, or it's the real deal, and it's time for them to reveal it to the public. The Pentagon responded to this claim by the whistleblower, but they did it in a very strange fashion. They said, the Arrow office knows nothing about any of this, and it's kind of like, well, that's what David Grush said. He said that this is an inner sanctum secretive thing, and that was his whole beef, was that they're not talking to anybody. They're not talking to Arrow. This is like some real, the guy on X-Files, the smoking man, the cigarette man. What do they smoke on there? Marlowe's? I don't remember. But I think I saw that in season 3 of Twin Peaks. Now I'm thinking about it. I think they also were smoking a cigarette called with the same name. I don't know. Well, I'm still getting through the details of the show on Twin Peaks there. Like I said, you're going to join me as we try to decode this whole thing. It's a massive undertaking. And then in the meantime, I've got full UFO disclosure going on and Jamie Foxx, Illuminate confirming P. Diddy. I mean, good Lord. That's why it's going to take us forever to get through Twin Peaks. And we're going to enjoy the journey. You know, in the past, when I've done these big, massive deep dives and books, I get obsessive about it. And I'm not doing it this time. This time I'm enjoying it, right? I really enjoy the show, so I'm really going to enjoy and take my time, and I'm going to do it right, baby. And in fact, the next Twin Peaks episode, because you're probably waiting for it, I'm hoping next week we're going to go through the whole cast of season 1 and 2. We're not handling season 3 yet. That's a whole nother beast, all right? Our first focus is to get through season 1, 2, and the movie Fire Walk With Me. That's our focus for the next 6 months, maybe, I'd say. And then season 3 is going to be a whole other can of worms, my friends. Let's look at the debrief article written by Leslie Clinton. And there it is, Ralph Blumenthal. Boom, June 5th, 2023. The whistleblower, David Charles Grush, 36, a decorated former combat officer in Afghanistan, is a veteran of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA, and the National Reconnaissance Office, NRO. He served as the reconnaissance office's representative to the UAP task force from 2019 to 2021, so right when the disclosure thing happened. From late 2021 to July 2022, he was the NGA's co-lead for UAP analysis and its representative to the task force. So very closely plugged into this thing. And so for one, I guess in like his group kind of turned into Arrow, which is the latest name for it. You know, they changed names like 3 times. I don't know if it's different personnel, but they keep changing titles for doing the same function. Researching UAP. Now, they talk about this exact claim about these sort of secrets within secrets. In his statements cleared for publication by the Pentagon in April, Grush asserted that UFO legacy programs have long been concealed within multiple agencies nesting UAP activities in conventional secret access programs without appropriate reporting to various oversight authorities. He said he reported to Congress on the existence of a decades-long, publicly unknown Cold War for recovered and exploited physical material, a competition with near-peer adversaries over the years to identify UAP crashes, landings, and retrieve the material for exploitation slash reverse engineering to garner asymmetric national defense advantages. Oh, boy. Is that a mouthful or what? So, okay. How do we unpack all this? Let's talk a little bit more about this guy. Grush left government service on April 7th, 2023 due to these reprisals, right? He believes that his report to the Inspector General somehow got leaked to the... This is my interpretation, that somehow got leaked to people that he worked with, and he was, getting punished for snitching. But his whole beef was that, look, they're purposefully keeping this secret to avoid the oversight by Congress, because Congress is asking a bunch of questions, which they should. So the IG, they found the complaint credible and urgent. But this, my friends, and you'll see that in the news clips, if you read the article, that happened in July of 22. So, I don't know how urgent that is, but that was a year ago. And they're claiming there's a reason why it's been so secretive, even on the global level, because you got to think, well, I mean, UFOs don't only care about America, right? They care about other countries. The allegation here is that it's some kind of Cold War nonsense to this day. Let me read to you again. And it's very stuffy. The writing's very stuffy. But hey, you know what? It's not BuzzFeed, so what do you expect? Jonathan Gray, I think this is like another, not a whistleblower, but another guy who kind of said this kind of stuff happened. Jonathan Gray says secrets have been necessary. Though a tough nut to crack, potential technological advancements may be gleaned from non-human intelligence UAP retrievals by any sufficiently advanced nation and then used to wage asymmetrical warfare, so therefore some secrecy must remain. National security stuff, right? However, it is no longer necessary to continue to deny that these advanced technologies derived from non-human intelligence exist at all, or to deny that these technologies have landed, crashed, or fallen into the hands of human beings. Gray noted that the hypothesis that the United States alone has bullied the other nations into maintaining this secrecy for nearly a century continues to prevail as the primary consensus amongst the public at large. My hope is to dissuade the global populace from the archaic and preposterous notion and to potentially pave the way for a much broader discussion. Grush says it was dangerous for this 80-year arms race to continue in secrecy because it further inhibits the world populace to be prepared for an unexpected non-human intelligence contact scenario. What? What's going on here? There is... And this sounds an awful lot... Like, a lot more dangerous, right? Because the way he's talking makes it sound... It's reminiscent of Snowden and... what's the other dude? I don't know. Edward Snowden, we'll say. Who spilled the beans about what was going on because he's like, look, this isn't fair for mankind. But then you got to ask yourself, is this all theatrics? Is this the way that they say, look, we're going to get this non-human contact scenario soon? You got to ease the people into this. Maybe it is. Maybe it's the way they do it. Maybe it's the way that they, you know, you force their hand and they say, look, all right, we had to keep it a secret because of this, that, the other, protect the blah, blah, blah. And this is the only way, because what do you want to do? You want to go out and be like, hey, for 80 years, we've been talking to aliens. Sorry. You got us. Gotcha. Like that Kanye West meme. Gotcha. Now, I'm going to play a clip, because like I said, there's multiple News Nation clips. listen, I want you to listen to what he says. He's asked if these things are malevolent, right? Are they evil? Are they evildoers? Evil-doing aliens? And listen to what my man says.
News Nation has confirmed Grush's credentials, but he says he can't show us the proof of the alien craft for national security reasons. In a somewhat frightening revelation, Grush claims the non-human species may not be friendly.
I've been told that there have been attempts to bring down craft, that we've acted offensively against non-human craft.
There have been instances, and there are certain techniques.
Have human beings been hurt or killed by a non-human intelligence?
While I can't get into the specifics because that would reveal certain U.S. classified operations, I was briefed by a few individuals on the program that there were malevolent events like that.
Grush says he has to be careful about providing detail. He shared this letter with us from the Department of Defense giving him permission to do the interview with News Nation. It says the interview questions are approved for public release. However, this approval does not include any photograph, picture, exhibit, caption, or other supplemental material not specifically approved by this office. Our concurrence for release does not imply DOD endorsement or factual accuracy of the material. Grush says the United States is not the only country that has encountered non-human intelligence. He says our geopolitical rivals have their own crash retrieval programs.
Bro, these aliens are going to kill us. The aliens are going to kill us. I think it's interesting, though, because I think it was Tom DeLong who was saying that. Oh, man, who was it? Somebody, I think it was Tom DeLong. Don't quote me. Somewhere was, I think it might have even been on Joe Rogan, was saying that the military vets can't, there's some red tape where if a vet gets jacked up from an alien that they can't cover the disability or something, which I don't buy that at all. It doesn't make any sense. Like, you're telling me that they can cover up for the existence of aliens for 80 years and reverse engineer alien crap, but they can't wrap their mind about how they could possibly find a way to cover the health benefits or whatever. So apparently that some of these aliens are malevolent. But to be fair, I mean, if a craft was shooting missiles at me, I might fight back too. So I don't know if it's correct to say malevolent, but hey, we'll see what happens here. Now, that's the gist of all the sort of ideas about what they've been teasing for the show, the big interview that drops on Sunday on News Nation, okay? Now, I know that that's not why you came here. You came here for conspiracy, outlandish claims, and I'm going to give it to you, all right? There's a, and of course we got to go to Reddit, right? There's a Reddit claim that there exists an article of David Grush being interviewed by a French paper, Le Parisien, and it's called They Might Be Extraterrestrial or Something Else, But They're Not Human, and this is apparently translated. No idea if it's true. But apparently he talks about these crafts, and you'll never guess where he says they come from. He said, Grush says, I wasn't certain of their non-human origin until I was briefed on the analysis carried out by members of these programs on these recovered vehicles. The interviewer says, what could be the origin of these objects if they aren't human? Grush says, my degree is in physics. The mechanical and experimental data shows that it's not human. It could be extraterrestrial, or it could be something else, coming from other dimensions as described by quantum mechanics. I haven't seen enough data to say it's one thing or another. The U.S. government must have more information. Now, if you read my two alien books, which I'm sure you have, they were featured on Coast to Coast AM. Remember that? Remember when they let me on there? What are they thinking? Letting me on there, spreading my insane ideas. But that's the crux of the argument, is that because I research the paranormal and aliens and the occult, and all these realms overlap with this particular thing, the phenomenon. And in there lies quantum mechanics, which is occultism proven through science in a way. The idea of quantum entanglement, things popping in and out of our dimension. And don't look, I don't have a degree in physics. I took two courses of it in college. It was very difficult, but also very fascinating. And my hypotheses in my in Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult User Illusion 1 was that using the science of quantum and the occult, they know that if we focus enough attention in this realm, maybe we could manifest aliens into our existence on some weird level. Don't ask me how it works. I certainly don't know. It just seems to me that that's what's going on through entertainment generally. And here it is. Grush basically says that's what's going on, more or less. Okay. Now, and here's something interesting. He says the earliest craft recovery was actually conducted in 1933 in Italy. Listen to this. He says, one was recovered in Italy in 1933, which is the earliest case I've been briefed on. I can't talk about the others. The interviewer says, what allegedly happened there? Grush says, in 1933, a bell-like craft around 10 meters in size was recovered in Magenta, northern Italy. It was kept by Mussolini's government until 1944 when it was recovered by agents of the Office of Strategic Services. That's the OSS, a former U.S. intelligence agency. I think it's the predecessor to the CIA. Ironically, it predates anything the public has heard about for decades, such as Roswell. I was authorized to talk about it by the DOD's Office of Pre-Publication and Security Review. Interviewer says, you're talking about information concealed for decades. Aren't you afraid of playing into the hands of conspiracy theorists? Well, pump the brakes here, Mr. Interviewer. Let's not use such disparaging, derogatory stances about conspiracy theorists, all right? I don't know if you checked the scorecard. We've been kind of right about everything, all right? Sometimes. Sometimes. Some of us sometimes are right about some things. That's the fair way of saying it. Which just goes to show you can't dismiss all conspiracy. That's the point. Grush responds, yes, there's always a likelihood that this will encourage more unfounded conspiracy theories. The irony is that this was once a conspiracy theory that turns out to be true. Well, encourage away, Grush. We're doing it. Time for unfounded conspiracy theories. That's what I should have called it. Conspiracy theories and unfounded pop culture. I don't know. Then they talk about the reprisal claims on there too. The interviewer says, you state in your complaint you suffered reprisal, blah, blah, blah. He claims, this is why he filed the thing. They tried to attack my security clearance. They made allegations of misconduct against me, things of that nature. To protect the ongoing investigation on my behalf, I can't give too many details, blah, blah, blah. Do you fear for your life? He said, at one time, there were threats of this nature. So there you go. Real stuff. And like they always say, that's what Bob Lazar was saying. He's like, I gotta go public to protect myself. Now let's go back to that Italy crash. Because someone on that Reddit dropped a link to the Black Vault, which is a website that released they got tons and tons of FOIA requests, UFO documents, and such. And this was a few years ago, so this isn't anything new, turns out. And it talks about Mussolini, who had his own UAP task force, believe it or not. I know everyone's got all these task forces, yet they don't exist, right? Okay. I'm going to read you from it. Just an interesting piece of it that we're going to talk about. Later, the crashed UFO was stored in the hangars of the SIAI Marchetti in Vergiati. Mussolini thought that this unconventional flying vehicle was a French, British, or German secret weapon, but apparently Guglielmo Marconi believed it was extraterrestrial in nature. The RS-33 cabinet, according to the mysterious sender of the material who wrote to us, saying he was a relative of one of its members who had investigated this. Apparently between 1933 and 1940, there were many different Italian UFO sightings. In one instance, an Italian fighter plane intercepted a UFO between Ravenna and Rome, and in August 1936, there was a multiple UFO sighting, a flying cigar and two Saturn-shaped UFOs. Two Saturn-shaped UFOs? My God. Not to keep taking it to Twin Peaks, but you see a lot of Saturn symbolism on that show. And the concept of time is, of course, very fickle in the world of Twin Peaks, as is in the world of contactees. This gets into a lot of quantum stuff, the time-space fabric connected. There was a commenter on Reddit, Fluid War 1647, who said, "Interesting coincidence that Enrico Fermi began his pioneering work on neutron bombardment in Italy in 1934. He went on to win the Nobel Prize in 1938 for his demonstrations of the existence of new radioactive elements. Of course, he then later went on to join the Manhattan Project." So we've got this crash in 1933 and throughout the 30s in Italy. And then Fermi was working all this stuff over there simultaneously. That is interesting, right? Now, Fermi, he's the famous scientist who came up with the Fermi paradox, which is part of my beef with the whole phenomenon. Look, the universe is supposedly so big, it's been around for so long, and there's so many planets and galaxies and stars. Statistically, there's got to be intelligent life somewhere besides Earth. There's got to be somewhere in this massive universe. The paradox is, where the hell is it? Where's the evidence? It's got to be out there. Meaning, high likelihood of extraterrestrial life in this world, zero evidence. Now, Fermi, he created the world's first nuclear reactor. They call him the architect of the atomic bomb. I know all my Twin Peaks fans out there, they're already chomping at the bit. They're like, ooh, I know where we're going with this. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but we're going to go there. Fermi left Italy in 1938. They had some racial laws. He was married to a Jewish woman. He came to America and worked on the Manhattan Project. In fact, he was there at the Trinity site July 16, 1945. Quick plug, the Oppenheimer movie, I think it comes out real soon. Your boy, I might go to the theater. I might suffer in the theater and watch it. I definitely want to see it. But he was there. Trinity, the Trinity site, of course, Trinity is the code name for the first detonation of the first atomic bomb in America at Jornada del Muerto, Journey of the Dead. Which is also next to where, when we interviewed Paolo Harris and her book with Jacques Vallée that I read called Trinity, about the actual first UFO crash retrieval in America in 1945, that happened right after the Trinity test. Right next to also Socorro, where there was another very famous UFO crash. And at the Trinity site, to honor the first atomic bomb, there's a big black obelisk. Very strange, right? The symbol of male masculinity, the phallus, the obelisk, located on the Journey of the Dead at the first location where they detonated the atomic bomb. Now, the name Trinity was chosen by Oppenheimer for reasons that apparently aren't definitive. There was a reference to the Christian Trinity that people thought. Maybe that's what it was. Others say it's his love that he had for this poet named John Donne. There's a poem on Wikipedia that goes like a little something like this. As west and east in all flat maps, and I am one, are one, so death doth touch the resurrection. But apparently nobody knows. Why did he call it the Trinity site? I think it's strange to have a spiritual element there. Because this is a big to-do. This was a big shift in all of humanity. Some say for the better, some say for the worse. Hell, you could argue it's the end of humanity. And of course, to wrap it all up, if you watch season 3 of Twin Peaks, you already know there's a reference in there to the Trinity test opening up doorways. Opening up doorways. Jack Parsons, in 1946, was conducting experiments and opening up gateways as well. That's why the Collins elite were interested in these concepts of channeling the devil and how it ties into UFOs. Is it all connected? It could be. And there's going to be much, 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 much more to come on the Twin Peaks thing when we get into the Grey Lodge episodes. We're going to tie it into season 3. We've got a long way to go before we get there, though. But it ties into Jack Parsons, Aleister Crowley, some classic Golden Age conspiracy theories. We are going to do a deep dive on Jack Parsons. That's long overdue. Me and my wife Josie did a sort of casual discussion about Jack Parsons, Marjorie Cameron, L. Ron Hubbard, and the Babylon Working Ritual, which opened up some of the gateways. We did that on Breaking Social Norms. There's 3 episodes of it, all out now. So in conclusion, oh, and before I forget, did you hear about the May 1st Las Vegas UFO crash? George Knapp tweeted it. There was apparently multiple eyewitnesses of these 8, 9, 10 foot tall aliens. And police body cams captured this falling UFO. Well, it's a light, right? It could be a meteor or meteorite or whatever you call it. Asteroid, I don't know. But either way, the body cam caught this object crashing into the earth. And then minutes later, 911 starts blowing up with people saying, hey, there's 8-foot tall aliens in my backyard. Now, perplexing that nobody grabbed a cell phone. I saw a bird frozen in the sky. I couldn't get my cell phone out fast enough. Ugh. Of course, I didn't capture it because that's the phenomenon, the trickster. But anyways, fascinating story there. So look, if you're new to the UFO world, let me tell you something. It's straight drama. It's drama-rama. Everyone's got an opinion already. We haven't even seen the damn interview yet, but everyone's got an opinion. It's either, oh my God, proof of alien God Luciferian salvation, or, oh my God, total government psyop, lies, and disinformation. They're trying to create the new world order. And I certainly don't know the answer. I do think it's funny how triggered everybody gets, though, immediately, like that. Now, apparently, if Grush is lying to this inspector general, he's going to do some prison time. So, I mean, I got to believe the guy's telling the truth, unless this is a huge psyop and everyone's in on it. So the question is, was he set up to make these claims? Is this predetermined? Bill Cooper talks about this in Behold a Pale Horse, remember? He said that he seen a lot of documents talking about this stuff, about aliens. He saw a USO come out of the water and questioned if he was sort of manipulated into seeing that so he would release that information, because he was also naval intelligence. Well, I should say he's also intelligence, but for the Navy. And then, you know, back to me, of course. Is this what I was... Is this more evidence to lump into my alien books, talking about the phenomenon of aliens being interdimensional versus extraterrestrial, which would satisfy Fermi's paradox, where, look, if there's all these planets all over the place, where are these damn aliens? Well, maybe there isn't anything out there on the other planets. Maybe they're in other dimensions, like ghosts. I'm going to read you what Grush said. He said, "My degrees in physics, the mechanical and experimental data shows that it's not human. It could be extraterrestrial, or it could be something else coming from other dimensions as described by quantum mechanics." Which, of course, ties us into the Twin Peaks nuclear testing Trinity site situation. Shearing apart atoms, opening up gateways. And then he says some of them are malevolent. Could it be that this is a sales pitch for more weapon systems? That's kind of where all the roads were leading, was, hey, we need more money to study this thing. Which doesn't really make sense, because all the conspiracy people said, dude, you guys have been studying this since the 40s. What do you mean? What are you talking about? What do you mean? Now, one last thing. No. Yeah, let's talk about there's a linkage between the intelligence agencies, the UFOs, and the occult. They do similar things. Like the intelligence agencies and the occultists, they've got secret hand signs and secret symbols. Even in Twin Peaks, you see I can't even think of it. What's the name of the secret group? The Bookhouse Boys. Whew. Almost got my Twin Peaks card revoked there. The Bookhouse Boys, they do secret hand gestures. Laura Palmer's doing weird hand gestures. Sometimes her arms bend back. Weird stuff, right? It all has secret meaning. They use various code names or magical names. I mean, it's very interesting. John Dee, he was the Queen of England's secret agent, signed his name 007. And, of course, he was into UFOs, too, channeling the Enochian language from the aliens. Aleister Crowley, British intelligence, used that Enochian language, the language of Adam, to make contact with aliens. L. Ron Hubbard, naval intelligence, of course, tied in with Crowley and Parsons. And if you listen to the episodes I did about Parsons on breaking social norms, you know how Parsons was making Hubbard watch as he was out in the desert, you know, bobbing and weaving on the bald-headed champ. Invoking the wand, as they say, in the desert, trying to manifest the goddess of Babylon to end the world by channeling aliens, channeling UFOs. Marjorie Cameron, in fact, showed up, and they confirmed that a UFO was the sign to prove she was the goddess Babylon. Bill Cooper was naval intelligence. And, of course, you know, Hal Puthoff was part of Project Stargate for the DIA, another intelligence agency. And you'll find lots of those folks on the To the Stars Academy, Tom DeLonge's group there. They're tied into intelligence, Jim Semiman. So there's a real strong link between those three realms, okay? So let's all watch the full interview airing Sunday night. Shout out Kurt Russell on Twitter. Told me, Kurt Russell said that they believed it was 2 3.5-hour interviews. I was able to confirm there's a 1-hour interview Sunday at 9 p.m., 8 Central. So it's on News Nation. Yeah, you got to figure out how to watch it. Go to their website, you'll see it. And let's see what happens. Let's see how much this stuff's real. And go sign up for the damn $2. Twin Peaks. Get the Grey Lodge. Use the code CHERRYPIE. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab, scroll all the way down, sign up for Tier 1. It's $5 a month. You get in there for only $2 using the coupon code CHERRYPIE, all one word. And you're going to get the books. You're going to get the access to everything. You're going to love it. You're going to set it up and you're going to say, oh my God, why didn't I just do this the whole time? Get rid of all these pesky ads. And I get the books and I get the bonus shows every time they drop. Because guess what? I'm recording right after this. I'm recording another bonus show about Jamie Foxx and what's really going on with him. What's going on with Diddy? What's going on with Justin Bieber, Usher, Nick Cannon? What are they all doing together? Some weird stuff. That's what they're doing together. And we're going to talk about it on the next bonus show. So don't miss that. All right. And then, of course, you can sign up for any of the supporter platforms. You get all the same bonus content. I manage the VIP section, so I can offer the coupon. But you can go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. That's the most popular because you can comment and talk to the community. Or the easiest is Apple Podcast. You double click the button and you're in and you're done. The easiest, most seamless thing you've ever seen in your whole damn life. Those are all your options. Links are always in the show notes. Till next time, stay woke.